My name is Joy Warren, and I'm the National Coordinator for Fluoride Free Alliance UK. I've been looking at the issue of water fluoridation since 2003. So that's 20 years intensive studying the issue and looking at it worldwide as well as nationally. I have a BSc in environmental science.
Do we have fluoride in British water, and what's been the battle over the years? When was it first suggested? If you can just give us a potted history.
Yes, we have got fluoridation in England, only England at the moment, 10%, so 6.1 million people. It started in 1955 with some demonstration trials in about four different local authorities throughout the UK. In 1969, it was declared a success, but by 64, Birmingham had already started fluoridating, so they jumped the gun, really. After 69, it was no longer an experiment. Birmingham, West Midlands, Newcastle on Tyne, North Tyneside, Gateshead, Northumberland in parts, Consett in County Durham, West Cumbria, these are all fluoridated. West Cumbria, the sea towns, like just about sort of above Sellafield, right up the coast, but not Carlisle. Bit of Cheshire, bit of Bedfordshire. Obviously, most of West Midlands is fluoridated.
I mean, I'm really surprised to hear this kind of patchwork story. I mean, this is either good for health or not. Surely that needs to be discovered, decided, and then everyone can have it or not have it.
At the moment, of course, since 1955, I'd say about 60-odd local authorities have declined the very great pleasure of fluoridating their constituents. You see, it's not altogether universally popular. We've actually been instrumental, my movement, the National Pure Water Association, and now Fluoride Free Alliance UK, have been instrumental in stopping most of the proposals to fluoridate the rest of England.
So what's behind the move to do it then?
The upfront reason is it's supposed to stop dental decay in tiny tots who don't have good nutrition, who don't clean their teeth. There are obviously underlying reasons, because we know that the Department of Health, the establishment, is really obdurate. It really wants to fluoridate because it seems that's a very good idea to fulfill their hidden agenda. I can't discuss that because you'll think I'm basically going mad.
Okay, so what about the science? What's the evidence that this actually may be harmful?
Oh, Lord. If you look at if you did a real search for all the research that's been going on into fluoridation since, say, 1930, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of research reports. And the two or three main reasons why we believe, or we know, that it's dangerous to health is that it damages the endocrine system, especially the thyroid gland. But clearly it gets into all the endocrine glands, and that stops them working properly, and that causes chronic ill health.
What is the endocrine system?
Okay, it's a system which produces hormones, and the thyroid gland is the main one. And if your thyroid gland isn't working very well, then you come down with hypothyroidism. We've got a very good research report from 2014 where they mapped the diagnoses of hypothyroidism against fluoridated areas of England. And they discovered that there was double the amount in fluoridated West Midlands compared to non-fluoridated Greater Manchester, a double. And throughout England, fluoridated England is 30% more compared to non-fluoridated England. That's a huge amount. And of course, if we could stop these people having hypothyroidism, it would save the NHS a lot of money.
if people have got various medical complaints of whatever sort, what might be traced back to fluoride and the endocrine system?
It's really difficult because you have to have so many tests. But first of all, you need to know that you're not producing adequate thyroid hormone, thyroxine. And then you need to try and work out how to stop being exposed to fluoride. But the doctor's not going to tell you that because they don't prescribe to you that sort of thing. They just look at the tests and then give you medicine to make yourself feel better. But you're never going to get cured if you do that. You need to pay attention to what you're eating, what you're absorbing, and also put in good things like bits and minerals and things like that. It's just possible to cure yourself, but you have to be going down the naturopathic route as opposed to the allopathic route.
It's easy to get hold of. I mean, toothpaste is another thing, a way of cutting fluoride out through not having fluoride in your toothpaste, because almost all toothpaste nowadays, it's supposed to be a kind of selling point of it.
Correct. That's right. Although I notice that the word fluoride is getting smaller and smaller on the packaging. But most of the toothpaste manufacturers depend on fluoride for selling their toothpaste. On the other hand, you need to buy toothpaste. So the only thing you can see in the supermarkets and the pharmacies is fluoridated toothpaste, unless you go on the bottom shelf or unless you buy toothpaste online. But you can actually get non-fluoride toothpaste these days easily.
So there's no shortcut, really. You've got to pick up every single packet and check it.
Yes.
So what about, is there any effect on the brain? Is it, neurotoxic or not?
Yes. It is definitely neurotoxic, especially where there's no blood-brain barrier. And that means the unborn child and the infant, up to 6 months, for example, can be overexposed to fluoride via the placenta or via baby formula when it's made up with fluoridated tap water. Yes, it definitely gets into the brain. And that's why we know now that it is a cause of IQ reduction in fluoridated children.
Let's imagine that we've managed to cut out, we've got a non-fluoridated toothpaste, that we better check all the other ingredients and see what they are, of course, but also that we're now on bottled water, we're not drinking it from the tap if we've got fluoride in our tap water. You're now pretty much safe and you can start to work on any of the previous side effects or what?
Reduced IQ, for example, in America, they found that at levels of 0.7 milligrams fluoride per litre of water, there's a drop of 5 to 7 IQ points, which is significant. In the UK, because we have more put into the drinking water, 1 milligram of fluoride per litre, then clearly the drop in intelligence is higher. Rather, I should say, the reduction is greater.
Okay, so we're starting to get into the hidden agenda here. What do you think, who is driving this, do you think?
I'd say several actors, the toothpaste manufacturers who want us to continue to use fluoride. The government, because they know that they haven't got enough dentists and they use the excuse of fluoridation as the panacea to hide the fact that they can't provide more NHS dentists. So they say, oh, it reduces dental decay, so don't worry if you can't get to a dentist. We'll help you to stop decay in your children. We haven't got enough NHS dentists. So the government can be criticised for not providing more NHS dentists, and they can't at the moment because it takes time to train them. So in the meantime, they'll give us fluoride because, don't worry, it'll be fine. I'm convinced that that is the government's medium visible agenda. There's also there's big money in getting shot of hazardous industrial waste. Because if you neutralize it, it costs money. So the manufacturers would lose by neutralizing it. By selling it for a small amount of money, they're not losing anything, they're gaining money.
Okay, so where does this fluoride come from?
It's traded internationally. Back, say, about 10, 12 years ago, we were getting it from Finland, from a company called Yara. Up to about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, we were getting it from the Basque country in Spain, a company called DD Fluor. And now we're getting it from the Middle East.
So where is it? Is it like some sort of mineral it's extracted, a chemical or what?
Right. So the fluoridating acid added to drinking water is called hexafluorosilicic acid. It's a waste, a hazardous industrial waste, which is a byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry throughout the world. Everyone company that produces phosphate fertilizer produces this waste, and it has to be disposed of, and you can't put it in the sea. You have to neutralize it, or in this case, sell it. Now, once it's sold, it's no longer waste, so it's legal to send it to other countries. If it's not sold, it remains waste. It has to be disposed of in the country of origin, disposed of, neutralized, buried, if you like. But it's a liquid, so it's really difficult to dispose of a liquid without it leaching everywhere.
You know, you sort of remind me of depleted uranium. This is, you know, the byproduct of nuclear reactors, which is separated out from the uranium that's used, the enriched uranium, to make atomic weapons. And then they sort of say, well, we've got a whole load of this. What should we do with it? And then they start selling it to the military to put into shells.
Exactly.
Yes, better exactly. At penetrating things. You know, anyway, I think you've made a very good case, Joy, that people should be able to choose whether they have this or not. And is there any evidence that the government has really tried to attempt to make that so that people can maybe have one of those little valves or something on their water system if they particularly wanted to have fluoride in their water, which would add it if they wanted it?
No, the establishment doesn't want to listen to us. They are still determined to fluoridate about 50-60% of England. Matt Hancock back in 2021 was really determined, and he was speaking for the establishment at the time, and he said, yeah, we're going to fluoridate the whole of the UK. I think he was exaggerating, because I don't think Scotland would ever countenance it. The government is not listening. If we want to stop having fluoride in our drinking water, we have to filter it and pay for it ourselves. But these days, quite a few people, and the number of people is increasing, that we are not paying for our water charges. Some of us are paying for our sewage treatment, but not for our water charges. And we're winning that case, because the water companies don't want the publicity of taking us to court.
Wow, that's amazing. So is there if people are interested in joining that, is this the idea as a sort of class action or something, is it?
No, we're just individually stopping paying for our water charges. We've got a help sheet on my website under the resources tab, and the file is called withholding. And that tells people how to do it, gives you the rationale and how to do it. But you have to be fluoridated. You can't do this if you're...
So the next question is, which currently parts of the country are fluoridated?
Yeah, Newcastle, Gateshead, North Tyneside, Northumbria, Bedfordshire, parts of Bedfordshire, parts of Cheshire, West Cumbria, West Midlands in total.
Okay, so if people want to check, what's your website?
www.ukfffa.org.uk.
And what does that stand for again?
We were known as Freedom from Fluoride, but now we're fluoride free. But I haven't changed the URL.
No, well, that's fine. As long as we can find it, Joy. Yep. Look, we're going to talk a bit about, you know, some of the things which have been going on recently in the UK on this I mean, it seems to me an incredibly important issue. Our water that we drink, you know, in the old days we had wells, we had streams. In anyone that was lucky enough to live near mountains got lovely pure water. And bit by bit, we've been weaned off of that free water supply onto this paid for thing, which is now run by these massive investment firms, private equity and people like that, buying up our own water. Not in Scotland, I would add. It's not been privatized there. And there's all these horror stories, disaster stories about how people have found their bills increasing, and yet there's massive leaks, the Thames Water declaring potential bankruptcy, and the government's attitude to it, rather than to renationalize it, which is the obvious thing to do, for anyone that can remember nationalization or who lives in Scotland or Ireland, I think it's nationalized there too, is to say, okay, well let these private equity firms renegotiate or refinance Thames Water, and so the bills are starting to leap up. So anyway, what about the United States? Because I know there's been some court cases in the US about fluoridation.
Correct. It's been going for 6 years, and or 7 years in fact, and the judge gave his judgment in September to say that fluoride poses an unreasonable risk for the IQ of children and for their health. And that has actually now started a very nice slow trickle of water utilities saying we're not going to fluoridate anymore. And then, of course, on the 20th of January, we fully expect JFK Jr. To start the process of requiring the water utilities to stop. And also some of the local authorities over there, city councils, have mandated fluoridation, but they'll be asked to change the mandate. So we hope that in the United States of America, by the end of next year, there should be no fluoridation. And that should actually transfer across the pond to us and to the Republic of Ireland, which is heavily fluoridated. And hopefully that will convince the government that they're on to a loser.
I like it, because you know you're suggesting here that we're just part of this American empire. So if it gets sorted out in America, then it will eventually, inevitably, the decision will trickle down here. I wonder.
Well, not exactly, because what happened right back in the late 1940s, early 50s, America influenced us to start fluoridating, and they gave us money to do it. So they're the instigators, and now we want them to be the instigators again to stop the practice.
I mean, it sounds incredible that the effect of fluoride is to actually lower people's IQ, and particularly of young people. It almost sounds as if it's part of a massive dumbing down process. It's horrifying.
It is horrifying, isn't it? But it's the truth. It's what's happening, because it actually... fluoride gets into the pineal gland, which lies outside the blood-brain barrier. So everybody who drinks fluoride to excess is going to get fluoride going into the pineal gland, because fluoride is attracted to calcium. And the pineal gland is a calcifying organ. It's got a skeleton of calcium. So by having fluoride going in, the whole gland gets silted up. That reduces the expression of melatonin, which is really bad, because we need that to sleep properly. And also, without melatonin, women are more prone to getting breast cancer.
I mean, it sounds like there's so many cascades of health effects. But anyway, what about in Britain? I know there are people constantly on both sides in different parts of the country campaigning against fluoride and also trying to impose it. Maybe we could start with the biggie at the moment, which is the Duchy of Cornwall. I don't know to what extent Prince William is involved in this. This is his sort of county, really.
It is indeed, yes. And I'm sure he doesn't know anything about it at all. The council, the lady is called Linda Taylor, and I think she is chairwoman of the Health and Wellbeing Board Scrutiny Committee, something like that. And they've passed a resolution to go to the Department of Health and ask the Secretary of State to consider a public consultation for Cornwall. Now, if that goes ahead, that'll be for 3 months, and everybody in Cornwall will be invited to respond to the public consultation question of whether or not they want fluoride added to their drinking water. The problem here is that it's very difficult to get hold of, say, 1 million people. I mean, how do you contact 1 million people? We've got wonderful media, but the closed down on by national media on this, and I'm afraid the national broadcasting companies are not interested, or they've been told not to to publicise it. So we have a real problem, but we manage because we've got a wonderful website, which we're going to transfer from the north east of England, which was live during the public consultation. So that will be transferred and be given a new name. So it's already waiting to go to help people to fill in a public consultation questionnaire. But after 3 months, and we have to wait for West Streeting to be influenced by the Office for Health Improvement and Disparities, which actually run the public consultation. So it happens. It won't happen for several months. But by then, I think fluoridation will be dead in the water. And pardon the pun, it's not going to go any further because people will be so scandalised. We're just basically making sure we get the information out that their children's IQ is being reduced by them being exposed to fluoride in the womb and when they're an infant fed with baby formula made up with fluoridated tap water.
It's funny because, I mean, you know, the teaching unions talk constantly complaining about the lowering standards of teaching, the curriculum that doesn't really suit the teachers. They're finding it difficult to teach the kids. The ending of the grammar schools in the 1970s, or the shutting down of a lot of them, was also the, you know, introduction of comprehensive education by Shirley Williams. You know, this messed up the rather good education system we had after World War II, after the Butler Report. But it's almost as if there's, you know, it sounds to me as if this is a sort of two-pronged or maybe even more pronged approach, this dumbing down idea. But we've also got, I know there's been some changes also recently here in East Anglia and in Nottinghamshire.
Okay. In Nottinghamshire, there's a doctor called Dr. John Doddy, who's chair of the county's Health and Wellbeing Board, who about 6 months ago was saying, we want fluoridation for the county. I'm not quite sure where it got to. Clearly, as soon as I hear what's happening, I start writing letters to councillors and to the people who are pushing the agenda. I hope it's not going to go ahead in Nottinghamshire, but parts of the county are fluoridated by default because what happens is the water runs through the pipes and ends up in Nottinghamshire when it's supposed to be somewhere else. Now we've got the problem is now with Norfolk, but this time the public health consultants who are employed by the county council are being a bit clever. They want to go out for a public survey to ask people what they think about fluoridation, and the result of that survey will help them to determine whether to ask the Secretary of State whether to go for a public consultation.
Is there anything else you want to share with us?
Yes, we didn't actually finish the talking about the dangers of fluoride. We know about the reduction in IQ. We know about the way in which it causes certain cases of hypothyroidism. We also have quite a lot of research on the subject of fluoride causing diabetes too. And also, it is absolutely definite that fluoride weakens bones. So how can it strengthen teeth if it weakens bones? And the results of a Swedish piece of research from 2021 shows us that there's 50% more hip fracture in a fluoride area compared to a non-fluoride area. Hip fractures are denied by OHID, the Office for Health Improvement and Disparities. There's no proof, as far as they're concerned. In their 2022 monitoring report on fluoride, they failed to notice the 2021 Swedish report. So that is scandalous, because that particular survey was well conducted, but they didn't talk about it. So you can see why I'm really concerned, or rather, suspicious. That is not just about teeth. It's got to be much more about this. And we know that, unfortunately, stillbirths and miscarriages are higher in fluoridated areas than in non-fluoridated areas. And unfortunately, there's lots of people in fluoridated areas, more than in non-fluoridated areas, who have chronic ill health.
Well, look, it's amazing. I think, in a way, I don't know if it's on your website, it'd be nice to have a sort of checklist. So if people have got some sort of illness that's a mysterious illness, they can check through and see whether it may be fluoride is the cause of it.
Yeah, but not all illnesses are caused by fluoride, and we have to be careful.
No, I realise, but it's, sometimes, it can take, obviously the medical profession is geared up to sort of give you some sort of pill or whatever, or maybe an operation, and it may be it's something as simple as this that's causing the problem.
Simple thing is to try and avoid the fluoride and you get better. I've been avoiding it for 20 years, and I have to say I'm in pretty good health. I don't feel my age, shall we say.
Well, I won't ask you, don't worry. What about if people are interested in following you, can you remind us about the website, please?
Yes.
And any other services you offer?
Okay, so it's www.ukfffa.org.uk. We've also got the Northeast website, which gives you reasonable amount of information which helps people to respond to the public consultation, and that is www.nfornoraewffreddyc.org.uk. And then you go into the public consultation area, and there's a huge amount of information there to help people to understand the issue. We've actually got a Telegram channel with almost 2,500 people on it, and it's quite active, and we keep very strictly to the topic of water fluoridation, water quality, filters and health and all that sort of thing to do with swallowing adulterated water. The address for the Telegram channel is t.me/fluoridefreeuk, all one word.
It's almost like fighting to figure out what's going on. People shouldn't be having to do this, Joy. It's almost as if there's a sort of predatory element. Our government is sort of, whether it's corporations driving it or the government, who knows? But it's almost like, why should we have to take all this time and effort to find out something that the government really should be doing themselves?
Well, exactly. They should be making sure the water is pure and potable. And the licenses for the water companies basically means that they have to provide potable water. But five of them are not providing potable water. They're providing what we call medicinal liquid, because the upfront reason for adding fluoride is to prevent to increase the resistance of consumers to dental decay. It's clearly preventative, it's a prophylactic, and therefore it's a medicine. And therefore it's not drinking water, because it doesn't comply with the provisions and protections of the Drinking Water Directive. The directive has been retained post-Brexit. So the Article 3 in the directive says medicinal water is not included in the directive, which means there are no quality guidelines for medicinal liquid.
I mean, do you know of anyone that's actually, I don't know, put in a borehole or sunk a well because they just fed up with having this medicine coming through the water pipes?
In 1955, a lady in Andover sunk a well in her garden. and they were being compulsorily fluoridated as part of the demonstration trials. And they were stopped fluoridating 3 years later because people rebelled, kicked out the local authority, got a new local authority in, and the day they were in post, they stopped fluoridating for Andover. So Andover escaped. But this lady was really worried, and she got herself a well dug. I don't know of anybody else since. There probably have been, but I have not known news of that at all.
Anyway, okay, Joy Warren, thank God for you, you know. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, Tony.